So welcome. My name is Jennifer Olson, and you're joining us for the new Executive Leadership Summit. My guest today is Tara Powers. She's an award-winning leadership expert, sought-after speaker, and experienced talent development consultant and coach. With over 15 years of experience with Fortune 500 companies, Tara has helped hundreds of leaders and teams accelerate their success by building trust, improving communication, learning to walk the talk, and get real about the habits that create outstanding results. In 2014, Tara's Evolving Leadership Virtual Program was recognized as one of the top three Leadership 500 Award winners through HR.com, and Tara's Leadership Communication Program won again in 2015. Her business, Powers Resource Center, was also recently recognized as an Emerald Award winner through Wiley, an award granted to only the top 2% of Everything Disk Solutions providers in the world. She is known for sharing her expertise in a high-energy, action-oriented, and entertaining way. And today, you all will walk away with transformational tips, tools, and techniques to apply immediately to your work. So now that I've given you all an overview, Tara, it would be great if you could take a minute to tell us about who you are personally so we can get to know a little bit of the real you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Yes, so Tara Powers. I live in Boulder, beautiful Boulder, Colorado, and have been working in my business, Powers Resource Center, for the last 15 years. And a little bit about me personally, I have two young children, two little girls, six and eight. Love to spend time, obviously, in the outdoors, hiking, and enjoying all that Colorado has to offer. And I really am passionate about helping socially responsible companies be as successful as possible. And I do that through working with their leaders and teams.
That's great. And so in your company, you talked about Powers Resource Center. What are you seeking to do as a leader in that business?
So my goal for the future is to really move much more into the socially responsible space and focus on companies such as B Corps, who are really trying to grow. A lot of startups are in that space, or they're really startups who are growing really fast and they're trying to make an impact. One of the things that they really need to keep in mind is the culture that they're building and how they are developing their people as the business grows. And so what I really want to do in my own business as a leader is to focus on those companies that align with my personal values and then support them in their growth process from a cultural and people perspective.
I love that. Yeah, you and I definitely share that piece of values and wanting to help those socially responsible leaders and business owners. So I'm curious, what do you do? What's the one thing you do every day to take a step towards that leadership vision?
Well, I'm actually doing a lot of things. I'm engaged in some high-level coaching for myself and my business. I reach out and do research online to find out what companies are doing. I read a ton in the news about what's going on. I attend conferences. So every single day I am trying to stay abreast of some of the changes and opportunities that are out there, and then I reach out to companies and offer my support.
That's great. It sounds like a really great way to kind of keep abreast of what's going on, both in the corporate world and that you're trying to work in, and then also what the trends are in leadership, which I think is an important thing.
Thank you. And from a personal perspective, if this is helpful, you know, to be able to maintain my focus and make sure that I am making decisions that are in alignment with my values, I do need to spend some time every day checking in. So I have, you know, I have my vision and my goals, and every day I check in on those at the beginning of the day, and at the end of the day I also kind of check in on those. And I do try to spend some time during the day focused on the strategy, the vision, the business building, the relationship building, the stuff that is not urgent but really important for me to, you know, reach my goal and make the impact that I would like to have on the world. I think we always have to stop and consider, what are we going to do today, or what did we do today that helped us get closer to where we want to go, and was it in alignment with my deepest values? So that's something I've been trying to practice more, and that's come up through some of the coaching I mentioned I've been doing earlier, and it's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important too, right, is to be able to check in on the vision. So many times people, they create the vision and then they kind of put it away in the day-to-day activities, and they can lose sight of the vision and the values. So that's a great reminder that that needs to be part of an everyday practice.
Yeah, and not just for individuals, but almost every company I work with, this is also an issue that comes up. So I don't think we talk about the vision and the alignment enough. You know, why is this important? Why do we care about this? Why should we care about this? Mm-hmm. And where are we all heading? Why are we all on this ship, you know, rowing? Yeah. Where are we rowing to? I just think it's a really important conversation, and it's not something you do once a year. It's consistent, continuous checking in on that vision. So,
absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I think something that's also really important for leaders to talk about and businesses to talk about is that, you know, while we're moving forward in our visions and in our everyday activities, there's so much learning that happens along the way, especially from mistakes and from failures. And I personally, I'm on a mission to talk about those things more, because I think a lot of people aren't comfortable talking about some of the mistakes that are made along the way and the failures that really help us in truly stretching and growing to our next level. So I would love it, Tara, if you would tell us about a failure in your own journey and kind of start with the events that led up to that failure.
Well, first thing I wanted to share about what you said is I talk a lot about this in the teams that I'm working with and the leaders that I'm working with, because you cannot pay enough money for people to learn from others' mistakes. Like, there's nowhere we can go. There's no school we can go to that actually says, hey, here are all the mistakes people made before you so that you can learn from them and not make them in the future. And there's this great story about this CEO who he walked into his C-team meeting. So it was in a meeting with all of his executive team, and he laid $200 bills on the table. And he proceeded to share a huge mistake that he had made that week with they were trying to get a new executive vice president, hire this person, and he made a big error in terms of something he said or did in the interviewing process. And so he, you know, he put the money on the table, he explained what happened, he explained the lesson that he learned from it, and then he said, if anyone can beat that, if anyone has a worse mistake than what I just did, the money is yours. But I also want you to share what you learned from it so that we can all benefit. And I just think that is a huge, it shows vulnerability, which builds trust, and it also helps people learn from mistakes, which we don't do enough. And I think a lot of the leaders that I work with are afraid to share their mistakes because it makes them look like they don't know what they're doing, or they feel like they're going to lose credibility, when in reality it does the exact opposite, right? It shows that they're human. They share it. They talk about it. They talk about what they learned from it. And then people learn from that mistake as well. I think one of the mistakes that I have recently made that I would share is not doing a great job with a client that I was supporting, really getting clear on our expectations of what the work would look like. And so we entered into a contract agreement, and there just wasn't enough clarity about what I was responsible for and what the client was responsible for. And unfortunately, what happened was I wasn't delivering what they expected, but I wasn't getting what I needed from them. And so it really ended up kind of getting into an uncomfortable place where we had to have some uncomfortable discussions and revisit the contract. And, you know, my goal is to make sure every client is beyond satisfied and that they would consider me the best partner they ever had. So that was just another really important lesson for me in very upfront in the process, being extremely clear about expectations. Who is responsible for what? What are we comfortable with? What will we do when we experience a disagreement or have conflict? How do we want to resolve that? What do we want that process to look like? So that was just a great reminder that that's an important conversation I have to have every time I'm engaging with a new customer.
Yeah, that's a huge, great lesson to learn any place along the way, I think, because clarity and communication is, there's so many things that happen that are a direct result from a lack of clarity. So that was great that you were able to take all that from that one experience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. It was a hard lesson, but I definitely yeah. hopefully won't make that mistake again.
Yeah. And I loved what you said about, you know, really, I loved your story about sharing the CEO kind of really laying out his mistakes and who can show,
top
you know,
it.
Yeah, who can top it in that moment. Because I think, you know, you're right. There's so much vulnerability and trust that comes from that moment. And people do not get permission often to do that, whether that's in their daily life or in their work life. That's just not something that a lot of people are used to getting. So that's a great story.
Well, and leaders have to lead the way. You know, people who want to aspire to leadership or are already in the leadership position as an executive, you have to lead the way. If you do not create that safe environment and through your actions and behaviors show that it is okay to share your mistakes and what you learned from it, people are not going to speak up. They just won't. I mean, you have to lead the way. That is the most important thing that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So now on every leader's journey, I think a lot of us say that there's a skill, a strategy, or a tool that we're kind of passionate about because we learned that it was a key in our own development towards personal and professional success. You know, for some people, they feel like it's kind of an aha moment. So I'm curious, what was that thing or moment for you that provided that kind of catalyst, and what were the events that led up to that moment?
Well, I have several, but I'm going to focus on one that just for today is the one that's sticking out for me, and that is when I started to study Stephen Covey, who many of you may know. He built the Covey time management system. If you remember back in the day when we started using our planners, you know, he also wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned, and I still use it today and I teach it to people, is really understanding how we are spending our time and looking at your day and your week and trying to figure out, what is my time spent on mostly on things that are urgent and important, which is what he calls a quadrant one activity, which is about putting out fires, emergencies, you know, deadlines. It's things that cause you to constantly be in a reactive state. And, you know, obviously we have to address those. But if we are constantly living from that place, if we are constantly working from that place and we're expecting others to do the same, you cannot as a human stay there. You know, it is too stressful. You will burn out. You will see people burn out. They will leave their jobs. They'll quit. They're not finding satisfaction in that state 100% of the time. What he talked about and what I really kind of took to heart is how much time are you spending in what he called a quadrant two activity. And a quadrant two activity is things that are not urgent but important. And those are all the things that, you know, we talk about on these calls probably, strategy, planning, relationship building, building trust, taking care of your health, spending time with your family, sitting down and thinking about your vision every morning and every night, planning to communicate about the vision. Those things are not urgent. No one is forcing us to get those things done, but they are absolutely the most important things that as a leader will move you forward and will help you feel like you are successful and that you're having an impact and that you're making a difference. And when I sat down and looked at my work week, and I actually tracked what I was doing, and I tried to figure out, is this a quadrant one activity, a quadrant two, and then there's also three and four, which get into more kind of time-wasting activities and interruptions. That was a real aha for me, because what I realized is I did not have time built into my day-to-day calendar to spend time on doing things that were most important. And that is what the highly successful or highly effective habits of successful people are, is they build that time into every single day. And it's not just for them, but if you're leading a team, you're doing it with your team as well. So in terms of an aha, that is something I use. It's something I talk about often because I find a lot of companies are just running in a reactive state, and that is not going to help them get to where they are today to where they want to go.
Absolutely, which is great advice, and that's an amazing book too. So I'll make sure that we put that as a resource up on the webpage so that
people can find it. It's an oldie, but it's certainly a goodie, yeah.
Absolutely, it is. It absolutely is. So, Tara, I know that you are passionate about teaching how today's top leaders use creativity and innovation. So can you share with our listeners, so what's unique to leaders and how they develop and use those two highly sought-after skills?
Yeah. So one of the things that's important, anyone on this call, you know, if you're a leader, you know that innovation is a term we throw around all the time, and it actually is one of the top three business priorities of the future. So there was a global leadership forecast study that was done, and they studied 12,500 leaders from around the world. And when they looked at what were some of the top three business priorities that leaders need to be focused on for the future, it was creativity and innovation. And that is the only way that people and companies will continue to grow, right? We have to stay atop of trends, but more than that, we have to allow the space to think creatively, because it's only from thinking creatively that we can innovate. So creativity is actually a process. It's something you engage in, right? You're thinking creatively. You can do activities that allow you to think creatively. But the outcome of creativity is innovation, right? Innovation is actually an action. It is actually something we engage. We actually put a new product out there. We put a new process in place. So innovation happens from creativity. And so I do teach a lot of teams about creativity and innovation, and you know, a couple key points I always share with them is that innovation doesn't really have anything to do with new technology necessarily. It is a practice. It's not an idea. It absolutely drives organizational performance. It's one of the most critical issues leaders face today, and it does involve a distinct set of skills. And then lastly, it's everyone's job. Being innovative isn't just about the executive team coming up with innovative ideas. It's something that everyone needs to do. And some of the reasons that it's not happening enough in companies is there's a fear of failure, and there's a fear of sharing those failures. So back to what we were already talking about. And this is easily solved by starting to shift those conversations and making it more safe for people to share their failures so that people can learn from them, so that we can say, all right, how do we take what we learned from this and apply it to this project that we're working on right now? Another obstacle that gets in the way of innovation is people being too comfortable with the way things are, so comfortable with the status quo. You absolutely have to remove "this is the way we always done it" from your vocabulary. That just has to go away, right? It has to be a shift in culture. You have to get people on board. They have to realize that change is necessary for growth, and there's a lot of ways to do that that we don't have time for on this call, but it's really important that that is not, you know, something that you get stuck in, that rut. Innovation sometimes doesn't happen because it's not part of a company culture or strategy, right? We say it's important, but are we actually building it into our day-to-day conversations? Are we allowing teams time to be innovative? A lot of people may or may not know this, but Google gives their engineers 20% of their time of their work week to focus on researching things that are of interest to them. And the reason they do that is because they know if their engineers can start to research things that are intriguing to them, they're going to bring some of those ideas back and be able to apply them to what Google's doing and come up with the next best great thing, right? So are we allowing that time for innovation to happen? And then one of the other obstacles I think that gets in the way is the belief that there is only one right answer. And so one of the things I really push teams to think about is, okay, we came up with the one answer, but that's not the only right answer. What other right answer is there? And we keep searching, we keep digging, we keep asking better questions. We try to build better connections and draw connections between ideas. We might network outside of our organization to get different perspectives. There's this, I work with the city of Fort Collins, and I love telling this story because I think it's so innovative. Something that they did is their transportation department, when they were trying to discover, you know, new ideas for best practices in city transport, they sent people from their transportation departments to some of the best cities in the country, cities that were rated the best places to live, and they said, go see what they're doing in terms of transportation. How do they get people around? What are some of the things that you notice? Just so that they could gain new and different perspectives and bring it back and apply it to what they were doing. So those are just a couple reasons why innovation isn't happening and some ideas for kind of moving the needle forward a little bit. And, of course, there's many, many more in the work that I teach, but those are a few that I could share today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if there's a manager or a leader who's on this call today, which there's many, what would you say to them that they could do right away that could really support the success of the people they're working with to take steps towards building more creativity in individuals and in their teams?
I got a couple of really good ideas for that. One is getting better at presenting what-if questions. So what if we had all the resources we needed and all the money we needed, what's possible, right? Because that is always one of the obstacles that get in the way of creativity is, well, we can't even think about that because we don't have the money or we don't have the time or we don't have the people. So presenting some really, you know, big what-if questions. What if we were the go-to team next year for this particular issue? How would we handle it? You know, what would that look like? So just putting what if out there can be really helpful. Another idea is to start a wall of shame. So you might, this is, again, going back to that whole idea about sharing mistakes. So making it comfortable to share mistakes, but not only do we share those, but we then also share the lessons learned, right? You might ask, what's the worst that could happen, right? That's another question that can be really important. I also encourage leaders to use the five whys. So this is a common practice where you ask why and why over until the root cause of the problem or the issue that you're talking about becomes obvious. And I walk people through this example because I've done this with a customer service team, and their customer service satisfaction scores were dropping. And so I asked why, and their answer was, well, we don't get back to people in a timely manner. So I said, well, why don't you get back to people in a timely manner? Well, we usually don't have an update to give them about the status of their trouble ticket. Well, why don't you have an update to give them? Because technical support's backed up with trouble tickets, and they're not able to resolve them as quick enough as we'd like them to. Well, why is technical support backed up? You know, well, Tier 1 customer support has to escalate 80% of the issues that they receive to technical support because they don't have the training to handle it. Why don't they have the training to handle it? Because we don't offer it. So from that example, what we ended up trying to, what we realized is that we needed to focus in on providing support and training to that Tier 1 group, which in turn would give them the tools and resources they need to more quickly answer the customer problems that they were faced with rather than, continually having to escalate them. So the idea of asking five whys really helps you get to the root cause of the problem. And a lot of times we throw solutions at problems and it's not the right one. It's not the right solution and it's not the right problem. The last idea that I'll share, because I think it's so much fun, and I do use this in some of my innovation classes, is to use metaphors with people. So let's say you have a gigantic problem in front of you, and you're really feeling like people are just, they don't know how to move forward. Perhaps you don't feel like anyone has any creative ideas. You can throw a metaphor at the problem. So how is this problem like cooking a meal? or how is this problem like getting a divorce? Or how is this problem like building a house? How is this problem like running for public office? So you can come up with these metaphors that just help people snap out of the way that they always think about problems. And that is where creativity starts to come out. What the key here is that you have to engage in different questioning. You have to engage in people in a different way to force them to be creative. And if you do that, then that is how innovation occurs, right? But we have to create the space for that to happen. So hopefully some of those ideas are helpful.
Absolutely. There are some great tips in there. I was learning so much. So thanks for sharing all that. Plus,
yeah,
there's a
no
lot
problem.
Of good, you know, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of fun in it, right? There's in just looking at things in a lot of different lenses in a lot of different ways, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Tara, so we've kind of reached what I'm calling the lightning round, where I provide you with a series of questions and you get to come back with us to us with some amazing, mind-blowing answers. So are you ready for that?
I hope so. Let's
okay.
see.
Great. So the first question is, what was holding you back from becoming a leader?
Oh, believing that I had something worthwhile to say that people would want to listen to and follow, basically. So that has it's a confidence issue, and it really is just believing in yourself. I mean, I think there was a point in time when I thought, well, how much longer am I going to use this as my excuse and not believe in myself, and just recognize that I had what it takes to talk about these things that were important to me. I had what it takes to stand up in front of people and be on a platform and be a leader and offer suggestions and opinions. But that was probably the one thing that was holding me back.
Yeah, I think that holds so many people back for sure. And what is the best advice you've ever received?
Is that when you get clear on your values personally, it makes everything else in your life easier. So I was able to make decisions easier. I was able to decide where to spend my time easier. I was able to decide on the clients that I wanted to work with because when you are extremely clear on your personal values or even your values as an organization, then anything that is presented to you, it's a simple question. Does this align with our values or does this align with my values or not? And if the answer is yes, you move forward. If the answer is no, you don't. That was really some of the best advice I was ever given, and certainly I've done in my career. Use that.
Super important and, yeah, super helpful. That's great. So can you share one of your personal habits that you believe contributes to your success?
Yeah, I spend a lot of money and time on my mindset. And I go to conferences, I read a lot of personal development books. I do believe that, you know, what we put out there energetically comes back to us. And I spend a lot of time really making sure as a leader that I am in the right mindset, because everything I say and do and the energy that I'm putting out there is impacting every single person that I come in contact with. So I've tried to make that a personal life habit, and it's definitely helped me grow personally, and I believe continue to just step up as a leader into places I never thought I would be able to do. So that's one of the things that I do a lot.
I love it. So the last one, do you have an internet resource that you are in love with that you'd love to share with our listeners today?
You know, this maybe isn't an efficiency resource, but I love LinkedIn. I have made so many amazing connections, business connections on LinkedIn. I have been able to connect with people I would never be able to connect with on LinkedIn. I really just think it's such a powerful tool for business leaders. If you are not using that to build your network and to connect with other people in your industry and to connect with other thought leaders in your industry, then you are missing, you know, a great, great opportunity.
That's great. Perfect. So now, Tara, I know you have a tremendous free resource that you want to share with the listeners today. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I do a lot of work with leaders and teams. That is my focus, and I really focus on building engagement. So it's really important to me that people are engaged in what they're doing because, again, it goes back to that energy idea that I was talking about. If we're going to work every day and we hate our jobs, that is not what I hope for anyone. And so how do we – my goal is to really help leaders and help teams understand the energy of engagement and how to create an atmosphere or environment where people can do their best, where they can show up and be their best. And so one of the key ways that I believe teams need to focus on to build better engagement is communication. And I have built a communication model. It's called the Communication Intelligence Model, and you can actually find it at communicationmodel.com. And this model, it's a very simple six-step process, and what it does is walk people through really tuning in to people when you're communicating with them in a different way than I think we're used to. And it's about tuning into them energetically and really trying to synergize with the person that you're communicating with, even if you disagree, which is obviously the most important and hardest thing to do. So what I've done is I've created this free tool, which is an infographic that talks about the communication model. But I have gone through each step of the model, and I've created a video training that teams can actually sit down and go through together. So the videos are 3 to 5 minutes. They're very short. But it goes through each step of the communication model. And then there's a worksheet that comes with it where the teams actually rate themselves. They assess how well are we doing this on our team? How well are we utilizing this step? Are we actually really recognizing where each other's emotions are? Are we recognizing what each other's styles are? And if not, what can we do to improve? And then I give a lot of solution, a lot of ideas and solutions and questions for the team to work through. So the free resource is really to sit down as a team, maybe once a week in your team meetings, and watch one of these videos for each of the steps, go through the worksheet, and start to have these conversations. And to me, this is what is going to improve team communication 100% from where it is today if you do this work. And then what you're going to get from that, the outcomes from that, are more engaged teams, happier employees, more trust, better communication, more honesty, being able to get your work done more, the teamwork done quicker, faster, on time, under budget, all of those things that we're always striving for. It really, you have to back it up and figure out, well, why, all those whys, why aren't we actually getting things done? Why aren't we actually efficient? Usually it can come back down to communication. So that free tool is there for anyone that needs it. I really recommend you sit down and go through it with your team. communicationmodel.com. Everything that you need, all the instructions are there. And I hope that if you do use it, I would love to hear how it worked for you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's a huge resource. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
welcome.
Thanks. So, listeners, you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. And again, you can go directly to communicationmodel.com to get that amazing gift that Tara just gave us. Tara, thank you so much for speaking
You're
with
welcome.
Me today. It's been amazing just to hear
thank
about your
you.
Journey.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. So as we wrap this up, I'd love it if you can share one last piece of advice with our listeners and also tell them how they can find you before we say goodbye.
So I guess the one piece of advice that I would like to share is that you do not need to have a leadership title to be a leader. Leadership is a practice. It is not a title. And I truly believe that. I train and teach and coach so many people that have leadership titles that are struggling. They're not leaders. They are not, they don't know how to step into that place. And I believe leadership is about being vulnerable, and it is about caring about people and bringing them up, right? It's about lifting them up. It's about helping them think bigger. It's about helping them recognize their full potential. Leadership is not about managing a task or managing a process. It's something so much bigger than that and energetically bigger than that. And so, you know, my vivid advice to you is whatever role that you're in and whatever title that you have, you can be a leader starting today. You just have to, you know, step into that energy that you have something to offer, whether that's support, whether that's coaching, whether that's, you know, a point of view that that people need to hear. I think that it's time that we have more people step up into leadership and feel that the comfort and confidence that comes with it. And it does require you to be vulnerable and do something that's uncomfortable. I mean, I'm doing it right now myself, and it is scary. Every step into being a leader is scary. No matter where you are, what your role is, you have that ability to do that today. And then in terms of finding me, you can visit my website at powersresourcecenter.com. As I mentioned, we support teams and leaders and companies in really building engagement, and we do that through a variety of ways, programs, assessment tools, and surveys, and we support medium to large-sized companies and have done that happily for 15 years. So we would love to connect with you online or certainly on our website, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. You've been so generous with your time, with your vulnerability and your stories and your experiences. So much great information and advice, and the resources are amazing. And that's going to help our listeners get started right away to strengthening their leadership and their creativity and really starting to make a mark in terms of innovation. So thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure.
So again, for our listeners out there, you can find the links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadership-summit. And while you're there, we'd really love to hear from you. So tell us what you loved about today's interview and ask any questions that you're dying to know. We'll make sure that we get you the answers. And so with that, we say goodbye for now. Go out and be the leader that you were meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you soon.